Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the last 24 and a half minutes of Today's Issues. It's the name of this show on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Wesley, and now Chris Woodward joins us. Good morning, Brother Chris.
Good morning.
So we were talking about earlier last hour, bagpipes came into the conversation. I don't know how it came into the conversation. Does anybody remember exactly?
It's hard to...
Wait, Brent Crilly, our producer, he remembers.
I know our, how... You mentioned our theme music.
Our theme music.
Our
Fred
show
said
theme
we
music.
Should switch to bagpipes.
Yes.
And I said, I don't think so, right? Mm.
Correct.
Which, and I went on to say, I like bagpipes.
You did say that.
But small doses.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Like at funerals is what
you
said.
Yeah, maybe here or there.
That's what he said.
Or, if I'm walking through the hills of Scotland or something like that, I'd like to hear
the hills.
Watching a Liam Neeson movie.
Gentleman called in, Tom.
Yeah.
He listens to our show, and he's a Scotsman who plays the bagpipes.
No kidding.
And he wanted Brother Tim to know that they are called bagpipers.
The bagpipe men?
Huh? What did I call them? Do you remember?
Bagpipe men.
Bagpipe men. That's not really offensive, is it?
No, it's not insulting.
But they're called bagpipers. That's what they're called.
What was his name? Tom.
Tom?
I have a question for Tom.
He said he was in movies.
Okay.
Does anybody know?
He's what?
He stars in movies.
He stars in movies.
Tom. He wouldn't give his last name.
No, that's Tom Connery.
Go ahead, Chris.
Well, you see a lot of this in like TV shows and films, but whenever there's a funeral for like a fire department, somebody in the fire department or police department, and there's the big funeral, everybody's in their dress blues and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There's always a bagpiper, and I've always wondered why are there bagpipes played.
I think it's because in some of those northern cities. There was a time when there were a lot of Irish and Scotsmen on the police forces in those big cities.
Okay.
So I think that's where where that developed.
I wouldn't mind doing it. I just couldn't wear the skirt. That's the only thing that
it's a kilt.
It's a kilt. It's not a skirt.
What's the difference?
Well, let's stop right there. We're gonna get into Scottish culture and things like that and. It hurt some feelings.
Mine was just a preference comment.
It's a kilt.
William Wallace cleaned house wearing a kilt.
That's right.
Yeah,
I'm not going to tell William Wallace he's wearing a dress.
Right now.
He
William
can yell
Wallace
freedom all he wants to.
Claymore and
so the bagpipes are played by bagpipers.
All right.
Simple enough.
Good knowledge.
I feel like we made this worse than we made it better?
That's what we do.
Usually do.
Well, I'm the one that's trying to keep the show on track.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay. Keep it out of the ditch. Chris,
driving it there first,
that's right.
Then you start saying, let's get out of this ditch.
Yeah. All right, Chris, what's your first story there?
I bring in some good news.
Do you bring in good news, Chris?
Oftentimes, I ruin everybody's day with doom and gloom.
Can you get your pitch of your voice up a little higher?
I can. I sure can, sir.
Okay.
So the good news is, this is a headline from Newsweek. Religion's long decline in America may be plateauing. After decades of steady decline, new research indicates that the number of Americans identifying as religious may have stabilized, signaling a possible plateau in the nation's ongoing religious transformation. This is according to some new research from Pew Research Center. And one of the experts interviewed by Newsweek says this is a striking change from the past few decades, which have seen measures of religious belonging, behaving, and believing dropping across the country. So this is very good news, and I think it's to the credit of various organizations, ministries, not just ours, but churches that go door knocking and are actually out there sharing the truth and the gospel with people.
Ed?
I think there's probably a general tendency of human beings, we see this, it's in the Bible, kind of, that when things are going well, people tend to forget about God.
Their need for God.
Their need for God. In fact, there was a Abraham Lincoln. It was a national call for repentance, I think. He mentions, we have prospered over these years, and now this war has made us realize we have forgotten God. And we had things going fairly well for some of these decades, and the percentage of people who said that religion played an important part in their lives went from like 66% to 49%, pretty steep drop. But now things are getting people are becoming pretty insecure about what we're facing in this country, what's going on in the world, possibility for world wars, economic calamity.
You got narco submarines out there right now.
Narco
submarines. Going across the Atlantic Ocean. You don't think people are worried?
They're worried about that. And so I think that it makes people search for something stable and right. Religion, and in this country, especially Christianity, fills that role. So I'm glad. Good to hear that this is plateauing. I don't know if my explanation is the only one out there. I'm sure there are several things that might have contributed to the decline and the seeming plateau. But anyway, that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I would compliment that by saying that the left has gone so far left that people are wanting, they're seeing the reality of what progressivism looks like. And now they see that a lot of young men are saying that didn't work. I don't like it. So then what's the alternative? And they say, well, this is not, they've been lied to a lot. And so now they're looking for truth. And if you're seeking for truth and you're wanting to find truth, you got the truth,
yeah.
Right, which is capital T, but you also have just truth in general that you get from Scripture and well. And so I think that leads you to a more stable biblical worldview, which then leads to Christianity, which is why you're seeing a little bit of a plateau.
Mm-hmm. That's Pew Research. They're pretty reputable, but doesn't necessarily say Christianity, even though in America that's what we first think. No,
sure.
It says this is the report from Newsweek. For generations, Christianity has played a central role in American society, shaping everything from voting behavior to community organizations, which is true. Mm-hmm. America is traditionally a Christian-dominant country. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go for one particular religion, it's Christianity that has been dominant in the American culture and scene. But it has waned. The influence of Christianity has waned over the last, since secularism has, been in the forefront of our pop culture for the last 40 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good to see maybe that the bleeding out of the Christian church has stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, on a general sense, that's a good sign.
Yes.
Right? That's a good sign. All right. Next up. Now, we probably need to do a show sometimes on what are the growing. We've talked about the dying Christian, at least traditionally, historically, mm-hmm. Christian denominations or movements, mm-hmm. and maybe the ones that are now growing.
Yeah.
That would be a good insight.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could have George Barna on or someone like to discuss that.
Yeah. All right. Next story, Chris.
Well, in recent weeks, the federal government stopped production of the penny because it's not cost effective anymore for we the people to be making
pennies. So they say. Go ahead.
So they say. Well, now it appears that if you're like me and you're still out there writing checks for things, I'm an older millennial. I still write checks.
I got a bunch of pennies. You guys are springing something on me here.
You can still.
Are you saying that they're not? I can't.
They're not going to be minting any more pennies.
Yeah. You can still spend them.
I think you were on vacation. Mm-hmm. Seriously.
Oh yeah.
The week that we covered that.
Spending pennies.
What am I supposed to do with my pennies now, though?
Well, they still work. The good news is there's something like 300 billion pennies in circulation.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is why I personally don't buy the argument. This is what I said. I don't buy the argument. Yes, it does take 4 cents to make a penny, but they stay in circulation forever.
They
like buying a car that you can drive for 20 years. You can't just go by the cost when you paid for it.
Right.
And a nickel costs 14 cents to mint.
It's
so
next.
We're going to stop making nickels.
We're
going to
stop making nickels, and I think this is a communist plot, and that's all I'm going to say about it.
I've actually, in all seriousness, I've seen several businesses in this area, and I'm sure it's not the only place, but they have signs up now talking about due to the issues with pennies, please have exact change when paying with cash.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's a commie plot, okay. And I don't want to talk about it.
Well, here's
it.
Another
I tell you,
one.
I tell you how, before you get to that, okay. I'll tell you how to solve this problem.
Yeah.
Because I do have an answer to my own issue. In terms of pennies, I said I got a lot of pennies.
Yeah.
So I save change throughout the year.
Sure.
And I got a big collector of change.
Yeah.
In about 2 years, it fills up. Take it down to Kroger.
Yeah.
And they got this machine.
Yeah, you pour that in.
You pour that in.
Coinstar.
And it counts it up for you. Of course,
you get cold, hard cash.
Of course, you have no idea.
It's true.
You don't, nor do you care.
That's really. Right.
You have no idea whether that thing's counting your
change.
You're
not going to roll quarters.
They could be skimming me for $25, and I'd never know the difference, huh? Especially, what are you going to do?
You do pay a percentage.
That's right.
For the they machine do say that. Yeah, the machine. Yeah. But you pour all your change in the machine, and it counts it for you, and it gives you a cash credit, and you walk up to the counter, and they give you they give you money. But so that's what you do with your pennies.
Right.
You don't lose any value for them right there.
And then the banks keep those pennies to take them out of circulation.
Yeah.
Because it's a communist plot.
You mentioned that. Yes.
Well, here's another possible communist plot that people need to be made aware of. The Federal Reserve has requested public input on the impact of potential strategic changes.
What now? What were those four words you put together?
Requested public input on the impact of potential strategic changes to check services provided by the Fed. For people not aware, the Federal Reserve offers check collection and processing services at a fee to banks and credit unions. Uh-huh. The issue is that in recent years, check use has steadily declined, digital payment methods have grown in availability and use, and check fraud has risen. So, the Federal Reserve wants people, banks, and private citizens to tell them whether or not they're still doing checks, handling checks, writing checks, all these kinds of things, because the checks may be going the way of pennies.
First of all, let's just, before we get into this discussion, because looking around this room, there's various forms of opinions on on checks being used today. I think we should withhold judgment about, you know, whether somebody's a bad person or good person.
This is
are dumb or smart.
Yes.
Okay. Can we do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
And can we agree that this isn't in the Bible?
Yes.
The Bible doesn't say anything about checks.
So it's not a core issue.
Not a core issue.
I will agree to keep my judgment internal.
Okay. And well, I do want you to share it because this is a real issue.
Well,
this
we can't get passionate about it unless we force it into a core issue.
Chris can. You heard how he can raise his voice.
Okay.
I sure he did.
Okay. See, he gets up to Pinocchio level.
Yeah.
Oh, if he really gets his
stuff. I'm going to be a real boy, Bob. Okay. I'm a real boy.
This is the Federal Reserve Board on Thursday. Last Thursday, I guess, requested public input. So they haven't made a final decision. I guess the issue is, where are we going with handwritten checks in our society? We seem to have we've moved away from checks, 80-20, maybe electronic transfer?
Well, this article says only 7% of people in our country pay their bills with checks.
Yeah. We do a hybrid. We pay a few bills with checks and a few bills with the automation.
We do that as well.
Automated draft. Same for you?
Yeah.
I don't know if every place allows for an automated draft. It's a convenient way to pay your bills. Yeah.
I know that there's, I think one of the utility companies in the small town that I live in, you have to pay with a check.
Yes. I actually got a passport earlier this year, and the State Department required that I write a check to pay for the passport. They would not take a credit card or a debit card.
Yeah. I want to let y'all finish. I have a slightly different problem.
Go ahead.
I have a different problem, similar category.
Okay.
I have a problem with going to check out at a concession stand, and they won't take cash.
Oh,
Take cash.
Yes, a number of places. Our university does
university.
The concession stand does not take cash.
That's what I'm thinking
anymore.
They don't want someone getting robbed with a bunch of cash?
I have not got to the bottom of it. Could I just stay mad that I never even.
I would be mad here in town.
I think that's going
on across the country.
I'm looking at this and I'm saying, you have two pizzas and a Coke and I have $20 and you don't want this. That's what you're saying.
Right.
And there's no processing fee here.
That makes you become.
Oh, you mean that when they use the debit card, it's not charging you an extra.
Yes, it does, but cash doesn't. That's the point I'm making.
That may be the point why they're not
maybe
taking cash.
But that gets me working. I know this has nothing to do with the article you just wrote, or that you were reading about.
Yeah.
But it has to do with cash and money and with the way of paying for things.
Correct. And while we're at it, I don't want to order from the app. I want to order from a human being at a counter and pay cash the way God intended.
Yes.
Yeah. That's okay. Right. So it is in the Bible.
And you know, this is
it's in the CWV. Okay.
This is an issue with Americans. This whole thing, all we're talking about.
Yeah.
Cash versus debit, checks.
It's generational somewhat, too.
But yeah. Ohio, remember Ohio is, I don't know whether it's passed, but they were a law had been put forth which would require all businesses
to take
cash up to $500.
Yes. And
there's got to be a reason. People must be complaining that the businesses are not taking cash.
Good.
And for a biblical perspective on it, a lot of Christians are leery of a cashless society and everything being run through a bank, which is run by the government.
Right.
And they keep track of everything you do, and they know how much money you got and all that. There is a spiritual component to that for a lot of Christians.
Something that strikes me with the Ohio bill or law there, I'm curious as to why it even needs to be like brought up and made a law, because literally the money says, like, for all debts, public and private. Like, you shouldn't even have to – it shouldn't be a discussion. You should take
that. You mean you shouldn't have to pass a law?
Correct.
Now, I can understand – like, we went to a restaurant last night, and there's a sign on the door. Well, it's not on the door, but it's a sign right beside the door. Before you enter, a sign nobody reads. The proprietor and the phone – most people don't read it. But I was reading it last night and said we don't take checks. So, but I can understand that because checks bounce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, checks and cards, I get all that, but cash is my...
I think everybody should take cash.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cash and credit card or debit card. A check,
I see.
Okay, but that check...
I understand, because I will say... Early in Diane and I, our marriage, when we were making next to nothing,
right,
we became really good at the art of floating a check. You guys all remember doing that?
I've heard of it.
I guess.
How does that work, Ed?
Well, you know, you go out to eat on Wednesday, and you get paid on Friday. You write a check because you know exactly how long it takes for that check.
And you post-date
to go. Yeah, well, you don't post-date it. It just takes time for the business to send the check to the bank.
And you know that.
And you know that. Mm-hmm. And so we got very good at floating checks. I hope people aren't, you know. I know I don't want Dave Ramsey.
Remembering back when we were dirt poor and you were a newlywed couple.
That's right. Okay. So, but my understanding is, man, like 20 years ago, 25 years ago, when you gave a check, they would run it through some machine and the bank would either say yes or no.
Okay.
That there was no more floating check.
That must have happened after the internet.
It did. Yeah. And so... I'm kind of surprised that businesses will say we don't take checks. Maybe they want their money right then.
Did you ever do that in the server or something brought your check back to your table?
Oh no, no. When I say I got good at it, there was no guesswork.
Okay, floating checks. All right.
You ever heard that expression?
Yeah, I've heard. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've heard it. Didn't know exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Was an art to it.
There was an art.
I was an artiste.
Yeah. All right, next story, Chris.
This one, you know, from time to time on the show, we warn people about scams.
We do.
And so this is continuing that discussion.
Scam warning alert.
I'll share this on our Today's Issues Facebook page after the show wraps. But there's a story on Fox News today, and the headline is, Why Your Holiday Shopping Data Needs a Cleanup Now. It says, if the ads you see in December feel a little too accurate, you're not imagining it. If the ads you see in December feel a little too accurate, you are not imagining
ads,
it.
Yeah.
The holiday shopping season is the busiest time of the year for retailers and for data brokers. These companies quietly track, collect, and sell your personal information. Every search, click, cart, ad, and purchase feeds a digital shopping profile tied to your name, phone number, email, and address. Uh-huh. If you don't clean this up before the year ends, that profile is going to follow you into the new year, and you'll start to get more scam calls, targeted ads, identity theft attempts, and other things.
I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted by this. This is a true thing.
Yes.
I usually order
Chris
my...
Chris thought you were exhausted at him.
I did.
No, not
Chris. It's on his face.
I'm exhausted with scams and with people following you around.
Yeah.
I normally order books from a website called Thrift Books. They're relatively cheap. You can buy used books there. I usually do that instead of Amazon because they're roughly the same in price. But I want to take a little business away from Amazon, give it to somebody else, you know, before they take over the world. And I will order a book. I will order a book from Thrift Books. And then when I'm on the internet, you know, going somewhere, the same book will pop up.
Yeah.
And I'm just going, I just ordered this. Mm-hmm. I'm not buying it again.
Right.
But it shows you how tracked we are.
Well,
I looked for a Bruins sweatshirt. This goes back a month ago because my son for Christmas got two tickets to go see the Boston Bruins play in Nashville against the Nashville Predators.
That's a fun trip.
And this is a gift from his in-laws. And it's three seats, three rows back from the ice. It's primo.
Yeah.
But it's going to be cold. So I said, I need a Bruins sweatshirt. Okay. I don't have one. And I just looked, just priced them. That was it. I was just looking. Mm. I've been inundated with advertisements everywhere I go. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. You go on to Olive Garden. Oh, check up and then a sweatshirt ad pops up with the Boston Bruins.
Yeah.
And you know, that's what I mean. I'm exhausted with it. I can't keep up with it.
You know, what's funny is some people, and there may be truth to this, some people think that like our phones are listening to us, and that's one of the reasons why you get the ads that you do. So later today,
let me cover my phone up.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Later today, odds are you're going to be on the internet and you're going to get that book on the side of the page.
Okay, so Allison, my wife, was on a website. We have to go to a meeting. We have to go to a meeting in Orlando in January.
Yeah.
Just... Oh, we feel obligated.
Yes. Okay. Well,
it's a friend we just can't say no to.
You got to do what you got
to
do.
Support a friend.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah, got to support a friend.
Sure. Sure.
So she was. So she said something like, "Hey, why don't we go to the beach for a couple of days while we're down? If we're going to be, go over to Clearwater, or Tampa, or whatever."
So yeah.
She said, "Well, I'll just search and see what's available over there. You know what kind of." Mm-hmm. So she's searching, and then right when she gets through searching. Mm-hmm. Bingo, here comes this email in from a company that, now, before you get too conspiratorial, as it turns out, it was the same company's website that she had already subscribed to.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so it wasn't, but at the same time, it was somebody's watching you.
It was right on it.
And they knew she's on our website.
And we have her,
and
email,
we have
address.
Her email address. We know what area she's looking for. So, Pop, actually, it was a deal where we go, huh, this is interesting. We'll look at this. Maybe we'd like to stay there. But at the same time, it was kind of eerie that you feel like somebody's right there in
over
the car,
your shoulder.
In the car with you, looking over your shoulder going, what are they looking at? Because I'll send them something that's directly
enticing.
Associated with that. You get that all the time probably with baseball. And stuff
I get that with everything. Yep. That's why. And I'm on a mission right now, just so everyone knows.
Yeah.
I do
delete
this.
Everybody.
I'm in the process of unsubscribing. Now, you can tell me what I already
Let
know.
Let me tell you about that, my friend.
They know that you're alive and real, but I'm just,
you're
I don't know what else to do.
Anyway?
That's the part that, when I say I'm exhausted, that's the part I'm exhausted with. Chris, your story was,
just get a new email.
You need to start getting a handle on this, or in 2026, these people are going to beat you to death with their offers.
Yeah, okay?
Pretty much.
Yeah, and I'm just going, I am exhausted with trying to escape the grips of these companies. I'm in their clutches.
That's going to be a cause of death now. Exhausted from trying to not be scammed.
There was a song from the 1980s which went like this. I always feel like somebody's watching me. And that's what our world feels like.
Yeah. Right?
Huh?
Yeah.
So you're exhausted with it, the whole thing?
If I didn't have grandkids,
you would disconnect.
I would beg Jesus to take me home. No, I'm just kidding.
That's
probably inappropriate.
Even so, come Lord.
That's inappropriate. But I do have grandkids. My wife might be
insulted, but it was
that
funny. But if it was inappropriate, then was I supposed to laugh? Maybe my laughter was inappropriate. I don't know.
Who knows?
All right, we're done here.
Google.
See you tomorrow.